Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Joy 94.9, the only station in the country that's out and proud.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you, doing a live broadcast down at the Victoria Police Centre in conjunction with the Anti-Violence Project and the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, and of course us here at Joy 94.9. In the studio is the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, Gabby Tyack, and we've got Scott, who's
Thanks, Paul.
With us as well. But Scotty, we're moving on to our last community interview.
That's right.
And to tell us all about Open Mind Fiesta is one of the managers of the Mental Illness Fellowship. Ruth Barr, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
Let's start off with telling us, what is the Mental Illness Fellowship?
Well, we're a not-for-profit organisation. We're statewide and we provide services to people with mental illness and their family members and friends who are living in the community.
Because sometimes families get affected.
Very much affected. We started about 30 years ago, and our focus since the 1970s has been on supporting people with mental illness and their family members and friends to participate fully in their community. And we have a big focus on reducing stigma and increasing employment opportunities, education.
Social isolation is a really big issue for all people, but it has a big impact on mental health, being isolated from your community. So community participation is a very important part.
Absolutely, really, really important. And we know that when people are participating in their communities, when they have choice and a feeling of freedom and involvement, that their mental health improves.
That's right. That's why things like the Open Mind Fiesta are a really important thing, where we can get not just the mental health community in one space, but we get the whole community in the one space.
Absolutely, and that's a key objective of our Open Mind Fiesta.
Ruth, Open Mind Fiesta sounds wonderful. What is it?
It's a street festival in Station Street, Fairfield, and we close the street for a couple of blocks. The traders bring their merchandise and their umbrellas out into the street. We have a lot of other people coming into the street and offering activities. So we have marquees, rides, entertainment, food. It's a really buzzy day. But the most important thing about it from our point of view is that it brings people with mental illness into the heart of the community, and we all have fun together. And so it's a day of great social inclusion.
What can we expect at the fiesta?
Well, this year our focus is on active participation of people with mental illness and their families and friends. We're trying to overcome social exclusion. So we've got a lot of opportunities within the fiesta for people with mental illness to be demonstrating and participating. So we've got a social circus with assistance from the National Institute for Circus Arts. We've got a couple of marquees like a circus where there's a lot of emphasis on, I guess, physical activity and circus type things. We've got a lot of marquees that are devoted to craft and hobby activities, where we will have people involved in doing mosaicing, in painting murals, in games and activities. We've got a quilt making marquee with carers. So the object is to get in and have a go, to come and try and to be part of things.
It sounds like a lot of fun. What's the best way for people to be able to get there?
Probably on the train from the city, get off at Fairfield Station, and you're right in the midst of it.
Are you charging to get in, or is it an open festival and then you sort of pay for things once you get in there?
This event is one of our fundraising events, and so we're very pleased for people to provide a donation, but there isn't an entry fee. It's an open and accessible activity, but all the funds that we're able to raise through it assist us to provide programs for people with mental illness.
So it's all about promoting mental health and showing that mental illness is in our society, and it's not to be hidden. It's out there. It's amongst us.
Absolutely.
We should be aware of it.
One of the things we know is that an effective way of reducing stigma and eliminating those negative attitudes that people have sometimes about people with mental illness is to bring about meaningful contact. So through bringing about communication and contact, we find we can positively address stigmatising attitudes. And we've done some evaluation and research over the years that shows that this has been a very effective forum for improving community acceptance of people with mental illness and of the issues of mental illness.
How do you go about getting the message across to people who have got the mental illness to come along? Do you rely on their families?
Well, the larger part of our activity, apart from this advocacy work, is in provision of psychosocial rehabilitation programs. So we've got a lot of contact. We assist many thousands of people each year who have mental illness and their family members and friends. So we canvass that group, and they are very keen to come and to lend their voice and to advocate for social inclusion. But we've also invited a lot of other organisations involved in services to people with mental illness to come. And so we've got our partner organisations in the street as well. I believe that this year RAFME are going to be involved. That's a similar organisation to our own. And we have lots of organisations from the northern area of Melbourne. We're based in Fairfield, and we've got people coming from Banyul, Darabin, the local council. So lots of other organisations.
I would imagine that your organisation relies on volunteers quite a lot. Most not-for-profits do.
Fantastic.
If people wanted to find out how to volunteer or become involved with the Mental Illness Fellowship, where would they best find that sort of information?
They can look at our website, mifellowship.org, or they can give us a ring, and we'd be really pleased to have some more volunteers for the day, because it's a very busy day. And our phone number is 8486 4200.
And you're expecting somewhere like about 40,000 people on the day, is that
that's right? And a lot of them are wearing these fantastic t-shirts that we issue. All the traders wear them, and all our volunteers and lots of our participants wear them. So it's a really spectacular day, and the t-shirts say people with mental illness want to participate, make it happen.
The 7th Open Mind Fiesta on Sunday, October 11, will drive a compelling social inclusion message to a 40,000 strong crowd at Station Street, Fairfield Fiesta this year. And once again, people with mental illness want to participate, make it happen. Ruth Barr, before I let you go, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you do first to fix and help the community safe?
I think social inclusion is about safe communities, and the way that we would want to work with people with mental illness is for them to be given opportunities to work and to have an education. And ultimately, what we'll get from that are safe communities.
Ruth Barr, one of the managers of the Mental Illness Fellowship, thank you so much for joining us here on Joy.
Thank you.
Keeping you and the community informed. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you on the conch. It's a live broadcast, and not too far to go. Joining us back in the studio is the anti-violence project man, Craig Adkins.
G'day, Paul. This has been a fabulous day so far, hasn't it?
Yes. Gay and lesbian liaison officer Gabby Tyack.
Yes, I think I'm on a sugar high.
A sugar high.
Yes.
Well, we've been having some really great cakes down there, so that's good. And the team that are making us sound even better are great. And a big shout-out to Conrad back at Joy, who's tuning in as well. So that's great. Thanks for that. Joy is located at 225 Bourke Street. Underneath us, we have the Also Foundation and a whole heap of other community groups as well. One of the events that they're doing is Coming Out Safety. And to tell us all about that, joining us here at the Police Centre is Youth Officer Gemma DeMarco. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much.
We're talking about coming out safely. How do you come out safely? That's the event. Picture me being a young youth, not out. Should I come out?
Really, it's only if you want to. If you feel ready, if you feel supported, then I guess you're great to go ahead. But don't come out just because your friends are doing it or you feel pressured. You really have to be safe within yourself. And there really isn't any right time to come out.
I haven't told anybody that I'm gay, so how do I go about telling, like, who should I tell?
Depends who you really want to tell. It has to start with the people who you want to know. So if you feel like, maybe start off with only telling people who you're close to, who you know that will support you, your friends. If you're very close to your parents and you feel supported by them, go ahead. But you should start with only the people you trust the most. If there's any risk, especially with family, you know, coming out to parents.
So on that, if you develop a friendship on the internet, someone you don't really know, are they safe people to come out to?
Well, I know with minus 18, a lot of young people find support in internet friendships and relationships. So to talk with peers about their coming out process. So it is, you know, it's...
And if it's friends and family,
sometimes it's a safer way to come out, to actually feel out how they're going to react to ideas or thoughts or about people being gay. Not necessarily yourself, but just see what they feel about gay people. And if it's positive, then you're pretty safe to know, well, maybe I can come out to these people.
Yes.
One of the things, I guess, though, like when I came out, I had to come out to myself first.
Yes, you do.
So it was being accepted to that. Now, there was a chat site called gay.com or something, I think, which I accidentally come across. Literally saw the icon, thought, what's that? Went in and started chatting. Yeah. And I chatted for 2 years to gay people just to find out why they were gay.
Yeah.
Not realizing that I was gay myself. And then that helped me immensely. I had like 2 years of cancelling before I even, you know, realized that, you know, that's where I probably should be. So I guess in one sense, Greg, to answer your question, it probably is a good way.
Well, I reckon there's another step too about safety on the internet that comes with coming out, Gemma, and that's probably around until they actually know the person face to face.
Yes.
Then there's some things you'd hold back on. Like you wouldn't tell someone where you lived. You wouldn't tell someone some of your personal intimate things until you actually knew they were a real person. Maybe that's a nice little safe place. But the internet certainly is a good coming out process for some people to find friends that they don't have in their personal sphere around them.
Well, really, it's just to test the waters, to talk to other people who maybe have come out.
Yeah.
Get their experience.
A really important question is, how do I tell my parent or guardian? How do you tell them?
Well, you tell them when you are ready, not before.
It's ironic, most mums will fess up later on that they always thought you were gay anyway, always thought you were lesbian anyway, but you never had the conversation with them.
It's a good idea too to make sure you've got somewhere to stay in case your parents overreact or something like that. Let's move along. What if I'm being harassed at school?
If you're being harassed at school and your school has great policies and procedures, or you've got a school counsellor to talk to, I would say approach them. But in some cases, young people may not know that they've got a right to feel protected and to feel secure within school. So maybe contact one of your support groups, PFLAG, or even one of the gay and lesbian liaison officers.
And I've heard some more things in schools where I'd go to the top of the tree. Every principal now has training through principals. They have principal networks, training around homophobia, around harassment, and they have an obligation. Once you open your mouth and tell them you're being harassed, they have an obligation to then look after you and make sure the time's going to be good for you ahead. So let's go to the top of the tree and tell them, I reckon.
But sometimes it's scary.
Well, it would be scary, wouldn't it, if you came to the principal?
Yeah.
Let's go back and have a look about telling parents, because if you have a look at where I come from, one half of my parent came all the way from Italy. So there, you know, the way they were brought up, completely different to how we're brought up here in Australia. So, and a whole big Italian family that, you know, you get married before you kiss and all these sorts of things. So coming out to them being gay is just extreme. I mean, there's probably still a lot of my family that don't know, only because we just haven't got around to telling them. So it's okay perhaps to come out to your parents in one sense, but when you talk about cultures and you talk about values and stuff like that, it's a big minefield, isn't it?
It is. It's huge. Religion and culture can be a barrier for a lot of, not just young people, just people in general coming out to parents. I mean, I've got my own nonna to come out to, so I know where you're coming from there.
So just a little bit more advice on parents and guardians.
Well, what I really wanted to touch on with coming out to parents or guardians and families is also thinking where they're coming from. Coming out to parents, they might not be expecting it. They might first deal with the denial, the shock, and then being really sad, what have I done wrong? And then going a bit further. So it's about giving them time as well to sit down with them, have a talk. Don't approach them when they've just come home from work, when they're stressed. And maybe do it one-on-one with your mum, your dad, or whoever it might be that you live with.
So where can you go to give parents support?
I would say the best resource is PFLAG, which is pflagvictoria.org.au.
What is PFLAG?
PFLAG is a support group for parents and friends of lesbians and gays, and it's run by parents themselves to support parents and their children.
One of the things that I've heard, and Jeff Jellis, who's from PFLAG, has always said that when the kids come out of the closet, the parents go into the closet. How important would you say to have this information for the parents?
Yes, to be prepared, to give your parents something, I guess, to read, to inform them. So they've got some information to go back to, and they know where they can get support as well.
Because we often forget the parents going through the coming out process as well. So the young people are thinking, okay, well, I think I'm gay, and I need to tell my parents. But the parents are also going, oh my goodness, my child is gay. I don't know what to do with that.
It's not just metrocentric either. I think there's a new PFLAG set up at Shepparton. So if you're web streaming on joy.org.au, you'll be able to access through PFLAG, the PFLAG Shepparton group too.
Yes. So all the different PFLAGs within Victoria and across Australia.
Let's have a look at some of the other resources.
So another resource is the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. They are run by volunteers who are gay and lesbian, and they're switchboard.org.au.
But Gemma, something has to drive this. There has to be a passion in the people that work with young, coming out gays and lesbians and want to keep them safe and keep their coming out safely. I want to just ask you, what drives you? What are your passions around young gays and lesbians?
Probably knowing where they came from. Going through the same process at 17, coming out to my nonna and going through this myself. When am I going to tell them and how?
I think the worst thing would have to be that if you are gay and lesbian and you don't know any of these resources exist. So what I reckon you do, if you are gay or lesbian, or you know someone who is, buy them a Joy membership, give it to them, make them listen, and they'll hear all this information. Gemma DeMarco, before I let you go, if you could wave a magic wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to make the community safe?
Understanding.
Make everybody understand.
Yes.
Fantastic. Gemma DeMarco from Also. Thank you so much for joining us here on Joy 94.9. Up next, we're going to be having a chat to Ray Alfonso because drag school, we're wrapping up on that. And Micah Scott from Minus 18. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, bringing a whole new meaning to community.
Paul Anthony with you on the conch in the Victoria Police Media Centre. And sitting along beside me is Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Gabby Tyack.
I'm still here.
Each and every week that we normally do on a Thursday, we do have a chat to Ray Alfonso, and she joins us. Ray.
Hi.
Welcome back for Thanks. Another week. How exciting is it to be in this room?
Oh, yes, it's a very exciting room.
You could dress it up a bit, couldn't you? All right, a quick recap on what drag school is.
It's a drama play shop program for GLBTIQ youth, incorporating media discussion, skill sharing and performance, using drag to explore themes around gender, identity and sexuality.
Now, I've been talking to you for about 6 or 7 weeks now.
You must be sick of hearing me say that.
Not at all. Take me through, just quickly recap each event.
We had a series of workshops. So we had our introductory workshop, then makeup, dress, voice and body work oriented towards passing, impersonation and gender play. Then the same again, but oriented towards performance. And then we had a film day, then wrap up and free play session, and a session at the op shop where the kids got costumed up in their personas that they developed over the course of the program. Then last weekend we had our photo shoot, which was completely amazing. Then on the 20th of November, we have our gala and performance night where we'll launch the exhibition.
How exciting is that?
Yeah.
You've had a fun time?
Yeah, it was amazing. And the photo shoot in particular was really great to see everything come together.
Well, have a look at the gala in 2 seconds because also joining us in the studio from Minus 18 is Micah Scott. Welcome to Joy.
Thank you very much.
Micah, let's go back at least 2-3 months ago. You came to me with this idea about doing an interview with drag school.
I did.
And had I not read the rest of the email, we probably wouldn't have got to this stage.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when you hear of drag, you typically think of, you know, late in the morning at Exchange or at Greyhound or, you know, real performance sort of thing. But there's so many different aspects to drag, and as Ray said, you can use it as a platform to explore other issues as well, and that's what really attracted me to the program.
Well, reading on, I found out they were asking questions like, what is gender, what is sexuality, what is identity, how are these roles performed, and what expectations, influences, performances, and so forth, and listening to Ray tell us about the kids' excitement and how they've just been able to come out of their shell has been great. How is a project like this benefiting Minus 18?
I guess Minus 18 is all about helping young people feel comfortable with themselves, and part of being comfortable with yourself is being comfortable with your own gender and sexual identity, and coming out at school and knowing that if you want to dress a little effeminate and you're a male, or you're a female and you want to be, and I'm using quotation marks here, butch, then that's okay. Or if you want to do the reverse, that's okay too. So it's all about feeling confident in your own skin.
Ray, how many young people are involved, and over the period of time that you've been doing the drag school, have you noticed a change in their behaviour and their self-confidence?
Absolutely. We had 20 enrolments, and for the final photo shoot we had 17 or 18, I think. who wanted to come and participate in the shoot. And one of the nicest things has been not only the kids' growth as they gain more skills and more confidence with their own drag performances and feeling entitled to play and express themselves and muck around and that kind of thing, but the relationships that were formed within the group. Because for the most part, the kids didn't know any of the others when they came along. And now they're a real unit and they're really keen on performing together. They're excited about each other's ideas. They listen to each other and bounce off each other, and that's really great. There's so much support within the group.
At the end of the program, at the photo shoot, we did it in quite a public area, and it was very close to the street, and here were 20 or so young people dressed up in outrageous drag costumes, and of course people walking by would stop and stare. And the kids who we saw at the beginning of the program would have been fully intimidated by that.
Yep.
But after the 6 weeks, they would turn around and, you know,
strike a pose.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
It was just so cool to see that transformation.
What was the comments or what was the public saying?
They were fascinated mostly. They just couldn't get their head around what was going on.
Yeah, it was more they wanted to see what was going on and find more out about it.
And where was the photo taken?
At La Mama Theatre.
Oh, yes.
We had a photo shoot there. In Faraday Street there. They're amazing. They opened the space for us and also let us use the courthouse, which is their other theatre. And I think it was really great when I first conceived the idea of having a photo shoot. We really wanted to have it in a theatre. You know, it marries in with that whole idea of gender being performative. And it turned out to be a fantastic venue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Two questions here, one for you both. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll start off with Micah. Micah, can you see something like drag school staying around for minus 18?
Absolutely. I mean, the benefits that we've seen from it, from our perspective, have been incredible and amazing. And it's definitely something that we want to embrace.
Was it what you expected, though?
To be completely honest, I had no expectations. You know, I guess the main expectations that I had were that we wanted kids to feel better about themselves and more confident and to see a transformation. And what we saw was better than any expectations we could have had.
And what about you, Ray? We've got the gala on mm-hmm. the 20th. What's going to happen after that? Where can you see this going?
Well, I have a few ideas. I definitely want to expand drag school, and I think the good thing about the program is it can go in a lot of different directions. But what I'd like to do this summer, I have friends with their own equipment and a van, and I would like to take drag school on the road to regional Victoria, because there are queer groups in Kyneton, Ballarat, Bendigo, Castlemaine, Geelong, and I'd like to travel and do mini condensed sort of two-day intensive drag schools and make a longer length documentary out of that. And then perhaps enter it in Trop Fest and so on and really get some exposure so that we have something to send around. And I'm also collating a reader, a sort of a how-to drag school, what worked, what didn't, photos, testimonials from the kids, some articles on the concepts behind it.
I think it would be great to see, you know, schools and other community groups running it themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if they can use our model as a basis of how they run it, then all the better.
Yep.
Let's pick the most homophobic school we can. Go there, get the principal dressing up in drag, whether they're male or female, doesn't matter. Kids will all follow suit, it'll be great. Okay, let's just finish up on the gala and then back to Micah. It's going to be at Dante's in Fitzroy, mm-hmm. 6 p.m, November 20. That's locked in. What can we expect at the gala?
Well, we're going to launch the exhibition for a start. So the photo shoot, the results from that will be displayed that evening, which is really exciting. And we'll also have performances by the kids who've been through the program. There'll be a few skits, some cabaret, a bit of burlesque, some more traditional drag. And basically, the evening will be about the queer community gathering together to celebrate and validate the queer youth who've been in this program and who've put so much work into it, because I think that's something that doesn't happen often enough.
Definitely, and support them in what they're doing and show them that if you want to be a little bit quirky by society standards, that's okay, and we're going to love that.
Dante's Fitzroy, November 20 for the gala. If you want more information, get across to minus18.org.au. Back to you, Micah. I just want you quickly, in 30 seconds, touch on Minus Plus.
Minus Plus is an initiative by Minus 18 and the OSSO Foundation. For those that don't know, Minus 18 run dance parties and social events, and Minus Plus are trying to provide alternative events, more social events and workshops like drag school, where kids can get together and, you know, socialise, but also learn and create together.
Ray, if you could wave a wand, what would be the first thing you would fix to make the community safe?
I think it would be amazing if people could learn to celebrate each other's differences instead of being terrified by them.
Micah?
I think it's really important that people just give other people a chance and get to know them before they judge it.
Ray Alfonso, Micah Scott, thank you so much for joining us here at Joy.
No problem, cheers.
The email again, dragschool@minus18.org.au, and the website, of course, is minus18.org.au. You're on Joy 94.9. We're coming live from the Victorian Police Centre. Up next, we'll be wrapping up. You're on Joy 94.9.
Diversity is Joy 94.9.
Yes, 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 yes. Paul Anthony with you on the conch. About to finish up. We've got a couple more talk spots, but we've got the crew back. Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Scotty Davis.
Thanks, Paul Anthony.
And we've got Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Gabby Tyack.
Wonderful
and
day.
From the Anti-Violence Project, we have Greg Adkins.
Oh, thanks, Paul, and thanks, Gabby and Scott. Fabulous being here.
All right, let's have a look at where we've been, who we've spoken to.
It's been a journey, hasn't it?
It has. We started off with Peter Sprott,
who is the Executive Director of Crime Stoppers Victoria, and he's also involved in Crime Stoppers Australia.
Yes, and then we had Joe Baird was in as well for a bit of a chat for the crimes.
Instrumental in putting the original show together.
Yes, well, Joe is the one that supplies all the information for the Glows each Thursday when we do our crime roundup.
That's right.
And it's the wonderful Joe Baird from now on.
That's right. And I swear they're twin brothers, but Chief Commissioner Simon Overland, looking just like Greg Adkins, he was in for a chat as well. And
brothers, I got to sit in his warm seat. This man is actually, he's got a real connection with our community, and
he
came across today, and all power to him, and I hope that his tenure as Chief Commissioner is as strong as he put across to our community this morning.
The thing I like, besides the fact he's going to be marching in Pride March this year, is the fact that he went out in a dibby van in Narre Warren and Cranbourne.
Yeah, and he was so unpretentious about it that he put on leading senior constable stripes. So, you know, I'm not the Chief Commissioner, I'm just a leading senior constable doing a job out here.
Fantastic.
Look, he's a really lovely person.
On from there, we had leading Senior Constable Craig McDonald, who talked about Operation Safe Plate.
He had a lovely radio voice, I thought.
He did. We should get him in for some voiceovers. The police band was in, Scotty.
How good were the police band? Elise and Rick from Code One and the show band. That voice from Elise.
One of my favourite songs.
The man with a favourite name, Greg Atkins, like Vince Vontana from the city of Darabin.
Look, straight from Greece to the city of... And they're going to have this fabulous barbecue tonight, I think it's 7 o'clock tonight, down...
At Great Edwards Lake.
And fabulous thing. And he's going to talk with the AVP now, out of this session. He's going to talk about how we can work together about clubbing and safe clubbing in venues in Darabin. So that's fantastic too.
And then we had Senior Sergeant Dennis Tucock, who was...
He was
talking
looking at
about
the firearms and weapons amnesty, which was really important.
Who had a very good moustache.
He did have a good moustache, and he likes his moustache.
Yes, no comments from you, Greg.
Well, I think Greg said that he saw the moustache come through the door before he actually saw Dennis come through.
I did. I was very impressed.
Yes, all right. Moving on from there, we had the Docklands Community Safety Day, Sergeant Benjamin Taylor.
Now, that's a big day on October 25 down in Docklands.
And it's a big day for the gay and lesbian community. The numbers of gays and lesbians setting up camp down in the Docklands is quite extraordinary. So it's actually quite important that they become involved in that Docklands Day as well.
It really is.
And there will be a helicopter.
Oh, okay. Dr. Mark Stokes was in for Kids Safe Victoria, telling us about all the things to be safe for kids, very, very important, and more so the awareness. We can't be more strong in telling you about the awareness. Sergeant Artie Lavos, the Bike Awareness Unit, we have to get him in.
Yes, he will come in. He's already agreed that he will come in, so that will definitely happen, and maybe we can get him to bring the bike in and we can do some bells and stuff like that as well.
And, you know, if we see those bikes around, say, Commercial Road or up in Brunswick, you know, anywhere around where gays and lesbians go out to party, if we see the bikes, go up and say thanks, because they're doing a really good job supporting our community as well as the broader community.
Ruth from the Mental Illness Fellowship was in for the Open Mind Fiesta, very, very important.
A big fiesta down there in Fairfield.
The very lovely Gemma DeMarco from also talking about coming out safety. Very important. PFLAG, also.org.au. Yeah. Get across to all of them. And we've wrapped it up, and it's been an amazing 8 or 9 weeks with Ray Alfonso, who has gone through the whole of drag school, and then the 20th of November is Dante's at Fitzroy. So, and also, one thing you must get across to see this, get across to Viv Cool City, which is V-I-V-E, coolcity.com.au, and they've made a drag school mini doco. So how cool is that?
And don't forget Micah from Minus 18 as well.
Yes, I was getting there. I was leaving him.
We can't forget Micah.
To the end.
Now, how many people were at minus 18 the other day, Scotty?
320 fabulous young people.
All under the age of 18, all at a same-sex attracted young person's event.
How cool is that?
And yet
full
another
credit to Micah and Gemma from minus 18.
And a partnership credit to the Victoria Police for actually supporting minus 18 over a long time as well. It's a good relationship.
Look,
here.
I think we've been to just about every minus 18 event that there has been. There would be very few that we haven't been to.
And the glows were up and dancing this time.
Yeah, and we got some really good support.
That's a sight for sore eyes.
I know.
We had police from Melbourne West at minus 18 this week, and we also had a police person from Melbourne East Police Station at minus 18. So it's not just
they
the glows.
They were newbies.
Yeah.
I think it's just hit me that we've been here for 4 hours in the Victoria Police Centre. I kind of feels a bit like at home. I want to ask each of you, how significant to yourself do you think that an OB from Joy 94.9 in the Victoria Police Centre has been?
Look, I know from the number of people who have walked into the room from the back, because we've made sure that it's a very open space and we wanted people to walk in. And throughout the day, we've had a number of police walk in. So I think that's significant in itself, that we've actually engaged from the gay and lesbian community into the police as much as having the police engaging with the gay and lesbian community.
And ironically, Scotty, we've probably had more people come through today here than were down at the launch of Community Safety Month down in Federation Square. So that's a bit of a cap on the
feather in the cap there.
The fact that we're actually doing the broadcast from the Victoria Police Centre is amazing in itself.
But why is it so important? I think, Gabby, it's important because it's that confidence we have in our relationship as gays and lesbians with Victoria Police, which means we don't have to stay quiet about violence. It takes a small part of our lives. We can actually come out and report violence, and we can actually live full lives and support those around us to live full lives free of homophobia, harassment and violence. It's fantastic.
It's also significant for you because the police are your friends. I sometimes get into trouble saying the good police, but all police are good. Mm-hmm. So if you've been tuning in today, remember that the police are our friends, and also the police are definitely friends of Joy.
And an important thing to note is that we want everybody in our community to report violence.
There's a couple of good ways to do that, isn't there, Gab? The first one, I reckon, is always report to police, 000, if anything's happening, and when you're safe, you can always report to the Anti-Violence Project through antiviolence.info on the online reporting form.
Fantastic. Also, we need to thank our president, Stephen Duns, for popping in for a bit of a chat. We need to start off with thanking our assistant, Claire, who's been running around.
Yay! Yes, well done, Claire.
Doing everything, getting people in and out this secure place. Also, Leanie, fantastic. She's been helping us.
Great program manager. Fantastic. Thank you.
Jane and Michael on the decks here helping us. We've got Robert back at the studio who's forwarding all the emails to us. Richard, who got all the music out. And Conrad, who put together all our traff that you would have heard.
So and we need to say hello to Dee from Brunswick, who's sent an SMS in, as well did Craig. So thank you very much for getting on to us.
And Scott got all the guests ready, prepared all that in the interview.
Yes, and Scott has done, I tell you what, Scott, you could produce any of my shows any day. Marika from the Police Media Centre, Victoria Police, of course, the Anti-Violence Project.
And, of course, Joy is the most important partner here because they got the voices out.
I think they're even more because, this is the second time Joy has done this community focus with the AVP and the police, and we want to thank you, Joy, and all the listeners for tuning in today. It's been fabulous. So thank you, Joy.
Till next week. We'll catch you on the conch from 12 to 4. I've been Paul Anthony.
I've been Scott Davis.
I've been Greg Atkins.
I'm always Gabby.
You've been you. Have a great, safe month.
Gay and Lesbian Radio for the world at joy.org.au.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
To find out what safety activities are happening in your neighbourhood, visit communitysafetymonth.com.au.
Joy 94.9, the Victoria Police Glows and the Anti-Violence Project, working together to help make our community safe.
A different kind of radio. Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.